Dumelang, welcome to our chapel. South Africa was an amazing time. The people we met were beautiful, the places indescribable, the experiences exhilarating, and the friendships we formed forever. When we set out on our trip, I was nervous to say the least. I was faced with my first trip outside the country, a new and exciting personal and academic challenge, and a group of people that I did not really know. Luckily, I soon learned that my fears were unfounded. The support and love of our amazing leaders was unconditional and constant, and the acceptance of my fellow students was the same. I don't even know where to start when talking about the people I got to know. It really was the people that made this such an amazing trip. The trip was amazing and once in a lifetime, but it would have been nothing if it wasn't for our great tribe. Over these past 3 months, I had the pleasure and privilege to get to know and spend time with 25 of the most amazing people I've ever met. I've grown to love these people, and I will always cherish the time that we spent together, and I can just hope that I gave them at least a piece of all that they gave me. In fact, if I had to do the whole trip with hardships, confusion, and African time all over, I would, and I wouldn't change a thing, except maybe I would come out of my shell earlier and get to know these people better. I hope that as you watch this little piece of South Africa that we are trying to bring you, you will start to see what made this trip so great and why I love these people so much.
Part of our studies this semester included studying the Sesotho language. Since for about 2 months we stayed with Sesotho-speaking families, we got a lot of practice at this. To show you sort of what Sesotho language is like and to show you what we experienced, Ben and I are going to recite the Lord's Prayer in Sesotho. Ntata Rona Yamahulimang.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
Lubitso Mahao Lekule Hetehe.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hotsoi Musu Wahao, Tatu Yahao, Aetsui Le Fatsang. Dwala Kaha, Aetsui Le Holy Mong.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Orefe Kajena Bahobi, Barona Baluganan Le Satsi, Le Leng, Le Le Leng. Ore Tswareli Malatu Yarana, Dwala Kaha, Aetsuareli Le Holy Mong.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us.
Oseke rare isa molikong. Oempe ore luele hoe mope.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hubani musu ke wahao, lamatla lakanya kahusafili.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Our trip was broken down into three primary sections. We said three week home stays. The first one was in Soweto, and then Lesotho, and then finally Cape Town. And throughout chapel, some of us are going to be sharing about those experiences, and me and Kim are going to start out by talking about Soweto. For those of you who don't know, Soweto during the apartheid era was an all-blacks township just southwest of Johannesburg. But even today, after apartheid was ended in 94, it remains like almost entirely segregated and impoverished. And 4 million people still live in the township. So that's where we spent our 3 weeks, all with individual host families. For me, Soweto was probably the most meaningful experience, just because that's where I formed my closest friendships. If there's one thing Harlan constantly emphasized in this trip, it was just the value of relationships. And all they would mean to us on this trip, and he was right on. I really appreciated that about Harlan. I stayed with a host brother. He was 20 years old, like myself, and two grandmothers and an uncle. And it's pretty unbelievable. I spent like all my time with my host brother, Tebo, and it's amazing how well you get to know somebody in just 3 weeks when you spend that kind of time with them. I'll never forget, like, the first night I just met him, and I woke up in the middle of the night. And we shared a bed, and I was already a little disoriented with where I was at, and I look over, and there's this guy next to me. Like, I don't know him from Adam, and it just freaked me out. I was like, where on earth am I? But after that, things loosened up. By the end of the time, we were snuggling every night, and I kid, but honestly, we really did close, and I miss him a lot. You know, he's a great guy. I would say, though, the thing I thought about the most in our relationship and our friendship was just that here we were, two young men, you know, two 20-year-old guys with the same kind of like ambitions and dreams, you know, with what our life has to come. But we were in such entirely different worlds, you know. And I felt guilty a lot. I felt like it was very unfair. You know, like here I was as an American, white American here studying my university, you know, with like seemingly every opportunity there is, you know, like and there he was, he's living in the township, he's unemployed, you know, it seems like he's got nowhere to go. It's like his hands are tied. And I felt terrible. And obviously I thought a lot about like, why weren't we switched? You know, like, was it luck of the draw? Like what if we would be reversed? And I thought about that a lot. And obviously I can't really answer those questions, and I'll think about it my whole life, I'm sure. But what I do know is that I'm just really thankful that we had the chance to have a friendship. And I'm thankful that friendship is something so powerful that it can transcend our different situations. And that we can realize that at the end of the day, maybe we're a lot more alike than we are different.
I will be reading from a journal entry I wrote after our homestay in Sweto. So it finally came, the day I looked forward to when I first saw my house in Sweto. The day I thought about when I was hungry after a lunch of sheep eyeballs and brains. The day I looked forward to when I slept three in a bed, spending all night trying to get comfortable. And now that I'm back with the whole group at Jacaranda Lodge, having just called my parents, I ask myself, why have I been looking forward to this day for the past 3 weeks? I keep thinking about KB, our 12-year-old host sister, who was naturally quiet and sensitive, but so sweet. Oh, how I too remember being 12 at the height of puberty and feeling lost in the world and in my own body. My heart broke seeing her sobbing as Lauren and I hugged her goodbye. Oh, little Kafiwe, who is my 8-year-old host sister, a genius, and who nearly broke her hands as she walked Lauren and I to the buses to say our final goodbyes. And then there's Lumka and CD, my host mothers, who looked so sad and upset as we waved our final goodbyes through the bus windows. Two strong women who try their best to raise smart, strong kids in a country where the odds are, and in many ways, are still stacked against them. Last but not least, there's Karabo, my 17-year-old host sister, who was so upset with Lauren and I for leaving that she didn't come to see us off or even say goodbye. So what is so great about September 29th, the day I've been looking forward to for the past 3 weeks? Nothing right now. I feel like I just left a part of me in a small four-room house in the middle of Sweto. But the one great thing about today is that after 20 years and far from family, friends, and the comforts of home, I finally realize that life is about friendships, family, feeling loved, your relationship with God, and not about how much you own, how big your house is, or what kind of car you drive. And so to finally come to this realization, I guess, is why I've been looking forward to today, September 29th, for so long.
Okay, some of us are going to do a short skit about something we learned about on our trip called African Time.
All right, guys, great meeting today. We don't have anything else planned for the rest of the day, so just go home, relax, hang out with each other. But first, let's bring in for a group hug. All right, on three, Rebua Sesutu. One, two, three.
Rebua Sesutu!
Hey guys,
what's going on?
This is like an hour. What's going on?
No, yeah.
I've been waiting forever.
Why don't we do this? The game starts at 6:15.
We'll get someone told me that Harlan said, that Pindy said Lindy would have the buses here by 5:30, and our host confirmed.
Wait, Lindy's involved?
Lindy's supposed to get her
presentation. No way. No, I don't think Lindy.
Pindy's your host, Mom.
Yeah, Pindy just told me that she's on the phone right now trying to get us transportation.
Alright guys, sorry for all the confusion. I know some of you have been waiting for a long time. But you know, Tia, this is Africa. Alright, we're all set, but there's one last problem. The hosts want to go back and change, so it'll be at least another half an hour.
Personally, I have many favorite moments to share. But I think we all find memories in Soweto of our gatherings in Harlan's host garage. It is there that we laugh and listen and sing in comfort. Far away from home and yet as real as ever with ourselves and our faith and our Father. The song we often sang is a simple one. Everything was done by you, and we thank you, God.
Lesotho was definitely one of the most meaningful times, and I think we all can say that we really learned a lot during that time. So. Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Lesotho was the middle part of our trip. It was also the most primitive and often most challenging. With no plumbing, no electricity, living in Malaya and Siyanku villages, our days there were consumed with very little. It was not uncommon when asked what you were doing that day to respond with one event, like doing laundry, since it really did take all day. I know for me, this was a time of zero distractions, a completely peaceful atmosphere. At sunset, my roommate Rachel and I would sit on our front stoop and watch the sun retire for the day, watch the herd boys move their cattle, the little kids get their last playtime in for the day, and just breathe. I could completely focus on God and my relationship with him. I was filled with a joy I have never felt before. The happiest I've been in a long time. I have found that answer and that to that secret of being content. It's cutting out the distractions and just being, if only for a little while.
Hi, my name is Patrick Monk. And during our cross-cultural, we spent a lot of time getting to know not only the people, but also the land of South Africa and Lesotho. We went on several hikes, taking in the beauty of God's creation. but none of these was quite like our hike up Mount Fukufuku in Lesotho. To give you an idea of what we went through on this hike, I've written this poem. Here there is a kingdom amidst this sea of mountains, but a greater one lies above these heights, its palaces hidden in the clouds. Leaving villages and valleys behind, we hike up into heaven, casting off the rules of time. We plunge ahead into the wind, ignoring the advice of our guide, creating our own trail up the eternal mountainside, undeterred by winds that wail, warning us to turn aside. As our steps begin to wander, our minds begin to wonder about the view from above the world, how this kingdom looks from the kingdom. We're fed up with the footstool. It's to the throne we've come. But from the royal chair, only one can rule. Gazing down at the smallness of the world from here, we do not see, we do not fear. But quickly comes our doom, a pride of lions roaring in the skies, come to chase their prey from these heights. Swept back down to earth by a broom, we escape the fate that awaits those who by force pass through the gate between kingdoms before their time. Yet it was worth it for a while to borrow God's eyes, to see the world from his point of view, to see the world in truth.
Hello. While we were in South Africa, it was pretty common for Harlan to come up to one of the guys in the group. He'd put his arm around him and be like, "Jake, boy, this isn't Goshen anymore, is it?" Or he'd come up to me and he'd be like, "Whew, Michael, we're a long way from Harrisonburg, aren't we?" So we made a skit that's the top 10 reasons how we knew we weren't in Harrisonburg anymore. Number 10, keeping up with a super in shape Harlan on a hike.
Hurry, Hank, let's go.
Harlan, slow down!
Come on, no talking, keep up.
Number 9, crazy hailstorms on a tin roof. Number 8, leaky roofs. Number 7, washing clothes by hand with very picky host moms. Number 6, proposals, aka herd boys trying to woo our girls with offers of many fat cattle. Number 5, awkward sleeping arrangements with very early bedtimes.
Jeff, looks like it's like 7:30. We should probably hit the sack. I'm exhausted.
Number 4, rats. Number 3, our host giving us scrumptious foods. Chicken feet, sheep's head, intestines,
dude, try it.
Sour milk.
I like it.
Number 2, pee buckets. And number one, bathing from buckets. Yes, we use the same buckets.
Cape Town was our last leg of the trip. Here we stayed with middle-class colored families. The focus of this portion was independence from the group and learning about current issues affecting South Africa. Megan and I also used this time to put into practice lessons and truths we learned in Soweto and Lesotho. It was easy to practice the simple life and patience when you had no indoor plumbing and African time. Cape Town was a testing ground. Being similar to home, we used this time to continue to grow spiritually. Lesotho was a time of contemplation and healing without distractions. One of the challenges going into Cape Town was making sure the things we learned continued with the distractions of our comfortable culture. The bombardment of normalcy in Cape Town was more distracting than we had anticipated. In Lesotho, there was no media telling us what to wear, how to look, or how much we should weigh. But with Cape Town and the ever-present media, we were reminded that it is not okay to wear the same shirt 4 days in a row, according to society. Don't get us wrong, it was really exciting to be able to pop in a movie during the afternoon or to go see the sights like the South African penguins, Canal Walk, the largest mall in the Southern Hemisphere, or to make the trek up to the top of Table Mountain and take beautiful pictures. Another one of our favorite activities was having the privilege of laying at the beach in late November, early December, hence the beautiful tans we are sporting. Looking back over Cape Town, we view it as an essential part of our experiences. We learned about current South Africa, and we solidified the growth we experienced throughout the trip. Leaving was bittersweet because we were coming home, but our amazing journey had come to an end.
Hello, my name is Nick Carl, and I wrote a poem about this trip. I once turned the earth together with my mother, brown and pale hands shoveling, then sewing. Afterwards, over a flame, she heated water. Then I bathed myself in another room. In my absence, she had prepared a meal. When I returned, she had turned to a grandmother whose work and triumph are the size of some wondrous continent. The continent who first taught us to make fire and speak in a language. I cried, Mama, in my absence I have learned to fly because of what you've been teaching me. She exposes her teeth to me in a smile. In her eyes I see centimeters from my own. I cannot ascertain the edge of her pupils. However, with a breath to my lips, she whispers, you're no longer wandering, for you found yourself wondering. I feel waves in her voice, the brightness of spring sunshine kissing the surface of the southern sea is the motion of her wisdom. Her youth is the breeze relaxing our heartbeats on the horizon between goodbye and hello, where we begin to believe our choices shall synchronize with our destiny. This is the place where I find myself, here at the bottom of the Cape Town night sky, with her malefic forehead touching my forehead. We offer one another our vulnerability. This is the place where I found my honesty. So I admit to her, you are the fear I've knelt before our God and begged for. My shoulders to the wall, my submission we agreed upon. She tells me, I am here. Will you kiss the feet of Africa? We shall take my desire and bury it deep within you. She closes her brown hand around my pale hand as I prepare for my flight. I know I will return to her earth, remembering what it was we planted by reading the lesson of the harvest.
Hello again. While we were on this trip, we really did bond together as a tribe. And unfortunately, today, one of our tribe couldn't be here. His name's Patrick Ressler. And so he sent a little note for me to read in chapel with you for you guys. What's up, EMU? I couldn't be at today's chapel with the group, so this is my small contribution to the service. I try to keep this short because I know you're probably all really bored because you can't understand the words in the songs that you're singing. I'd just like to say that this group that has traveled together is without a doubt the best 25 people I could have imagined spending 3 months with. We grew together on the trip until it felt like a big family. Without any one person from the group, this trip just wouldn't have been the same. We learned to be patient, be safe, and go all the way. I shared everything with them, books, food, cold drinks by the leader, fat cakes, money, pop, clothes, towels and toiletries, hikes, jogs, basketball and soccer games, outhouses, gulta, and a lot of things I'm probably forgetting. What I'm trying to say is, even though this chapel officially marks the end of the groupness, we will always be Harlan's tribe, and I will always hold these special memories close to my heart and think of this tribe. A wise Ndate once said, go big or go home. So we did both. We went big, and now we are home. See you next semester. Nao.
We had a little speech written, but Harlan and Audrey, could you please come up? Okay. All right. We'd just like to thank, as a group, Harlan and Audrey for being such amazing and wonderful leaders. They were our leaders in every sense, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
That's you.
Spiritually, by setting an example of faithfulness to God, love, and praying for us daily.
Emotionally, by being encouraging and listening to us through the tough times.
And physically, when we are pushed to our limits from hiking or sickness.
Perhaps the greatest sign of their leadership is that we consider them not only our leaders, but our friends for a lifetime.
As a sign of our appreciation for their willingness and dedication to our group and our trip, we'd like to present you with these gifts. We couldn't imagine our trip without you.
We're just really thankful that you could all come to our chapel and share with us this morning. During our time, we did a lot of group huddle prayers, and so we're going to let you in on a little bit of that today. And following the prayer, we have a slideshow, so we'd love for you to stick around for that. But please pray with me. Lord, thank you for the incredible journey that you've led us on this past semester. We thank you for the many experiences you brought to us. We learned to cling to you in Soweto, appreciate your vast beauty in Lesotho, and trust your plan for us in Cape Town. Thank you for these incredible memories you have given us. We truly appreciate all the relationships we formed so many miles away. And God, we also give you thanks for home, Bless our relationships, both that we made in our African homes and our homes here. We thank you for all these people who have supported us, prayed for us, emailed us, and missed us while we were on this journey together. Now, please bless our Christmas breaks and be with the EMU students and faculty during this week of finals. In Jesus' name, amen.